like nuclear fission, church splits often produce huge amounts of energy, but at a high cost. Sometimes this energy has been harnessed to drive fresh missionary activity and promote spiritual reform. It can also have toxic byproducts. Countless people have been wounded by painful church splits. The divisiveness within the church has contributed to many people leaving the faith.
What's up, everyone? I'm Justin, and on today's episode, Tim and I chat with DJ Martin on his recent experience with a church merger. Be sure to click on the show notes to find a link diving more into this one church experiment that was featured in the magazine Plow Quarterly. The Quiet Reformation is a space of listening for God through the Bible and the body of Christ, desiring change in the church, but without the chaos. DJ Martin, thanks again for being on the podcast with Tim and I.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so let's just jump into it. So give us a summary of the church merger that you took part in over the past couple of years. Give us a little bit of the history of what that just looked like. What kind of churches came together? What kind of people came together?
A year and a half ago, going on 2 years from as we record, three churches from three different denominations, three different lead pastors, three congregations in the Pottstown area officially merged into one newly formed congregation. And the story of how that came to be is obviously much longer than a short podcast can capture. But the short version is that these are three churches that have been in close relationship. Those early years of relationship between these churches was very much facilitated through Netzer a cohort and Netzer partnerships and relationships that grew. And then these churches began to work together outside of that. So I've been pastoring at Parker Ford Church since 2017. And when the pandemic hit in 2020 and, the world shut down, these other two pastors of North Point Community Church and Daybreak Community Church were some of my very first phone calls of trying to figure out how in the world do we navigate this. And so our three churches ended up walking through the height of the pandemic together. For about 3 months, we had shared worship services. None of us were set up for online worship. And so we pooled our resources and actually our people received the same content every week. And we shared preaching responsibilities and worship. And all of that we did together, which was really cool. And then when things started to open up again, we began worshiping together about once a month outside at our property at Parker Ford Church. We have about 10 acres there. And so we would do outdoor worship services. And coming out of that experience, Parker Ford was looking to hire some additional pastoral staff. And we brought Tim in to help consult with our elders about how we should be thinking through that and praying through it. And we identified a number of names, of types of people that would fit what we needed at Parker Ford well. And at the top of that list were these two other pastors. And we did not want to steal them from their churches. We loved their churches. We wanted to support their churches. And so to make a really long story short, essentially, I put together a proposal with Tim's help and some other our elders for the two churches to merge with Parker Ford and officially all of us become one church. That process took about 9 months from when I first initiated the conversation to the official date. But in less than a year, it went from us having this idea to us actually being one church, which is just amazing. So again, that's going on 2 years now, and it's been a pretty incredible story.
The reason we're doing this podcast is because it's a story that's worth telling for a number of reasons. The biggest reason is it's a total God story. Like, it is an absolute God story. And it's a God story not only in the sense that it's one of those things where you're like, obviously it's God because who really does that other than God? But it's also the character of God. Like, just the character and nature of God is being displayed all over the thing. And some people think that you can't honor God and honor people at the same time, which I completely disagree with. I think that you can't easily honor God without honoring people at the same time, because he tells us to outdo one another in showing honor. And so I just want to say that these leaders each had really key roles to play, and the elders of those churches, the leaders of those churches, very key roles to play. And it's a pretty majestic story, not just of like abstract miraculous God, but also the character of God working in people. We got DJ right here, so I gotta say, and like for DJ taking leadership in that in the midst of pandemic, like there was so much going on in the middle of all that, and there was a lot of moving parts and a lot of complicated parts. And I just want to name the fact that this was facilitated because there was a lot of humility and a lot of leaders who wanted to see God move. God moved miraculously, and right in the middle of that, DJ, you just did an absolutely phenomenal job of leadership in this whole process.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tim. And your support and many other people is just huge. And I do want to name the other pastors, Brandon Vining of North Point and Dave Hakes from Daybreak. Just so much courageous leadership that those guys executed through that whole process. But working with them, now they're on staff at PFC and they're two of my closest buddies. And so getting to pastor with them day to day continues to be just an incredible joy.
Yeah, and that's a great transition into the backstory, because those guys were around before DJ was in this area. DJ was pastoring right on the fringe of the city of Philadelphia when those guys were pastoring in this area, in the Pottstown area. They originally connected in our Netzer cohort, which DJ now leads along with those guys. They provide leadership, and they started... The three of them were providing leadership for the regional group together. So they were championing unity in the church in the Pottstown area, the three of them, and working at facilitating a cohort, a group of leaders in this area. Another thing, when I look back, Dave Hakes, who's one of the pastors that DJ just named, he was actually at kind of the foundational stages of birthing not only this cohort in the Pottstown area, but actually the ministry of Netzer. And I remember many times when I was in pastoral ministry, because I was in pastoral ministry at the time when we launched Netzer, and I was one of the pastors who was working at Unity together. And I remember often thinking, man, it would be really cool to have Dave on a pastoral team. And just thinking, and I think I even told you that, DJ, too. Like, I'm like, oh man, Dave would be an awesome guy to have on staff. And then I also remember the day that at the time Brandon was a youth pastor. When he first started connecting with Netzer, he was a middle school pastor in another church in the area. And I remember clearly at a Netzer meeting, there was a sense there that day that the Lord was calling him at some point to be stepping into a lead pastorate role. And through then a series of events, he kind of did step into that. And then these churches were also part of a movement that began to happen where there was small to mid-sized churches whose youth ministries were lacking, needed help, needed support. And so there was a decision made in partnership between a few of the churches where we were saying, we want to have a shared youth ministry together. And that became a regional youth ministry shared between five churches. And it was called Fuse. And that youth ministry is still going. That was another place where the churches really learned to kind of function together and trust one another. And so by the time the pandemic hit and where DJ picked up the story, there was deep relationships that had been formed over a decade for some of them. And then there had been ministry that they were working at together. And then there was these courageous steps. And this is one of those awesome moments where a pandemic looks like a problem, but it also becomes an opportunity. And I think you guys did an awesome job at taking what was given, what you had available, and making the most of it. And it becomes just a catalytic moment for a story that reveals the glory of God that we're talking about today.
So you touched a little bit on the practicality and the relational aspect of the church merger. In your article that you wrote, though, you talk about the concepts of fusion and fission, and then you also make some historical references theologically. Could you kind of summarize what you see as the difference between fusion and fission and what we need to be as the kingdom of God in this day and age?
Sure. So I always feel a little awkward talking about fusion and fission as if I actually know either of these things, because I don't.
That's not what your PhD is.
So this is obviously like elementary school level understanding. Park Before Church, PFC, sits literally in the shadow of the Limerick generating system, a nuclear power plant in the Pottstown area. And from our building, you can see it as clear as day. The towers and people orient where they are in Pottstown based on where the towers are. And we have multiple people at PFC who work at there. So it's a regular part of our life here. And I was on a prayer walk with one of our intercessors a number of months ago, last year, and we were praying for PFC and we were praying for the region and praying for unity. And I just saw the power plants. And in that time of prayer, I really sensed the Holy Spirit wanting to speak to me about nuclear fission versus fusion. And so I began to do a little bit of reading and research and looking at the difference between fission and fusion. And what's amazing is that the first successful fusion experiment in history took place just a couple of months after the merger took place that we took part in. And this youth ministry that we've been a part of is named Fuse. And so then I was thinking about fuse and fusion. What fusion is the bringing together of atoms. And when these atoms combine, it releases even more energy than nuclear fission. Nuclear fission is what current nuclear power is based on. So at the power plants down the road from us, it's nuclear fission. The atom is being split and it releases an incredible amount of energy, which is amazing, but it also creates toxic byproducts, nuclear waste that lasts forever, well beyond any of us will ever live, that nuclear waste will be around. Fusion creates even more energy, but it doesn't create nuclear waste, which is pretty incredible. And it's why people are so excited about this as the potential answer to so many of our climate issues and energy questions about, you know, how we're going to supply energy to the world. That got me thinking about church history and applying that to church history. There's so many examples where powerful movements in church history have come out of division, have come out of two things splitting. And I think for those of us who operate in the Protestant world, like the Reformation is like exhibit A, right? Out of this split, you have this massive missional movement that blesses the world and actually ends up reforming not just the Protestant church, but the Catholic church as well. But there's a lot of nuclear waste. There's a lot of byproduct. There's a lot of people who end up being persecuted out of the Reformation. Out of any split, there's always going to be points of pain, hurt, persecution, whatever. In thinking about what does it look like for the church to continue to be reformed, and in my imagination, thinking about us learning about nuclear fusion, it's harder to bring atoms together than it is to split them. And I think that's true in the church world too. It's actually harder to bring people together than it is to divide people. And, you know, our whole political system is based on getting power out of dividing people in America. But the church has this beautiful opportunity to model reformation, to model power, spiritual power, not through division being the main source of power, but actually through bringing people, bringing churches, bringing denominations, bringing prayer warriors, intercessors, pastors together. And it's such hard work, but it's such good work because when it happens, it actually releases, I think, even more spiritual power than out of division.
Tim, one of the things that you preach about often is how important the Lord's table is and how important that is for church unity and for church oneness. And yet just in what DJ was saying, historically, there have been movements or conversations. One that you mentioned in your article, DJ, was Marburg, where two big leaders came together and they agreed on so many things, but then they disagreed on some of the concepts of the Eucharist. So Tim, give us the lowdown. Like, what are the things that maybe we miss by dividing over the Eucharist that we actually need to kind of reform around so that we can both receive what the Eucharist is without it being a divisive point in our theology?
I'll just say this, that, you know, when Paul is confronting the church in Corinth about the Lord's table, his initial confrontations of the church in Corinth have to do with the divisions that are among them. And some of them are followers of Peter, some Apollos. some quote unquote Jesus, you know, some of Paul. He knows there's that kind of division in the backdrop, but in where he's speaking about the Lord's table, he's saying, can it be the Lord's table if there are divisions among you? One of you is running ahead and eating while the other one's staying behind and hungry. One of you is going and getting drunk and the other person can't even afford to be here and so on and so forth. And then there's a whole problem with like, some think they're super spiritual because they speak in tongues, and there's other people who, you know, are kind of being downcast and left aside. And this whole context is why he's like, this isn't the Lord's table at all. That can't be. This is it. He's like, that's the table of demons. Demonic work comes to divide, but the work of Christ is to come to unify. Now, with that said, the bread is broken, right? So the body of Christ is broken. It's split. And we are broken when we come to Christ. And so what this community of people and these relationships that were formed prior to the merger and that they worked on and grew in Christ, when we talk about entering into those relationships, what we say is we're coming to the table together. When we enter the covenant of Jesus, none of us enter into the relationship with Jesus standing up. We all enter kneeling. We stay in that posture of kneeling, of dependence on Christ. And that covenant reminder of our relationship is the Lord's table. When we practice it, it's reminding us the body was broken, we were broken, but as Christ enters us, then through the resurrection of Christ, we are again made whole, one in Christ. There's one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so that singular covenant, that one baptism, that one covenant is this one table, and we're reminded that we are already made one in Christ. And so there is a division between that which is in Christ and that which is not in Christ. And that remains a place of division. But when we enter into Christ, anything that's causing division, Paul's really clear, there's no division inside of Christ. And the Eucharist, the Lord's table, is actually the reminder of that. That's why it's like, don't come to the Lord's table unless you've gone and made things right with one another, right? Then come and take it. So the Lord's table is the last place we want to be divided around, right? It's the reminder of what unifies us.
DJ, as you guys have been working through this church merger, have there been small issues or even major issues of division that you've needed to kind of pastor through?
Yeah, definitely points of tension have been pretty consistent throughout this process. And all of us have needed to live in tension points. We all had our own way of doing things. We all had our own traditions, our own histories, our own cultures. And we've had to navigate that. And so every single holiday, every first thing, you're just like, oh, that's how you guys did that? Or like, you guys do that? You know, there's always those things. And then there's interpersonal stuff. It's like, we were like courting, we were dating, and then we got married. And it's just like any marriage, like that first year of marriage is tough. Even if it's like a totally vitalized marriage that, you know, people did a lot of hard counseling, good work beforehand, you're still going to bump up against stuff that you're like, oh, really? You snore? Or, you know, yeah, I didn't know. And so we've definitely had those points throughout the last couple of years too, where we've stepped on one another's toes on accident, or maybe not stepped up when another person expected us to, because we were trying to not step on their toes. And so it's just been a little bit of a dance, but there's this love for one another that makes it worth it. And so even though there's been some sleepless nights and there's been some hard conversations and there's been some wrestling, I can honestly say that our relationships are better and I think thicker and more loving than they've ever been at this point, which is awesome. And then there's points of pain, like organizationally, like we've all had to make some sacrifices financially and different things like that. And that's real, but we think it's worth it because we think that the story God is telling is a beautiful story. And so we're honored to be a part of it, even through the tricky bits.
DJ, I know that you're not inviting everyone, every pastor who's listening or every church that's listening to think that they should be merging their church with all the other churches in the area. We believe that there's only one body of Christ, but we believe there's lots of manifestations of that body of Christ, and that's really appropriate. But we also believe that the Lord's heart is to have his church be totally unified and functioning as one. You guys have experienced some deep diving on this level and have watched the power of God be transformative. I would appreciate if from that space and from what you've experienced, if you'd pray into our listeners and over the church now from that space for God to continue to work in his church.
Let's pray. So Father, I just pray for every leader, every pastor, every shepherd, every elder, every member of every congregation listening to this conversation. Just as Tim said, like, our unique story at PFC is not going to be everyone's call, and it shouldn't be. However, I believe with all my heart, Lord, that every single church is called towards loving their neighbor, loving the church down the street, working towards building deeper, thicker bonds among the greater regional church. And so whatever that looks like in every single unique situation, God, I pray that you would give leaders just boldness and courage and creativity to think outside the box. Things don't have to be the way they are. Your spirit is leading your church forward. And in the end, we know that there is just one people around the throne. And it includes every tribe, tongue, every nation, every people group on earth. But it's one church that's gathered around. And so we get to live into that today. And so I pray for all the pastors, all the leaders listening to this today, that we as the people of God would live as much as we can through the spirit and grace of God into the reality that there is one church. And we're already participating in that today. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.